Time for a Sting Gang podcast, and time to talk about Midwestern State women's basketball with head coach Bernita Jackson. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Be sure to tell your friends, and be sure to follow the Midwestern State women's basketball team as they're on the road this week visiting Angelo State and UT Permian Basin. They return home Thursday, January 23rd, to take on Cameron. That'll be a 5:30 game, and then the following Saturday, Oklahoma Christian is here for a 1 o'clock start. Midwestern State coming off a nice homestand. In fact, you're playing really well at home. You got a 5-game home winning streak after beating both Western and Sol Ross. Two lopsided victories for Midwestern State. It must have been a really nice weekend for you.
It was. We definitely needed both of those wins, and very proud of our girls for picking up the fight at home. That was one thing that we talked about, just taking pride in your home court. And so we're going to keep playing like that at home. I mean, this is our court. This is, you know, our domain, if you will, you know. So we want them to have pride in it, and we want them to also have that same pride when we go on the road. But definitely proud of the 5-game winning streak at home. We got to keep it up.
Do the style points matter? In other words, the fact that you won by such a convincing margin, does that mean anything?
To me, it does, because that's what I desire, you know. That's what I'm used to. But at the same time, we understand how tough the league is and all of those things. But we feel like, you know, we're a much better team than what our record shows. At the same time, numbers don't lie. And so you kind of have to remember that, you know, even though some of those games, if we could get them back, you know, the girls would be like, oh, we should have did this, or should have boxed out right here, or should have talked on this screen. But that's the thing about life. You don't get to go backwards. And so they're learning at a very young age, you know, you got to play in the moment so that you could set up your tomorrow. And I want to win by 40 every night if I could. I mean, I'll take a 20-point win. I mean, that's my heart's desire.
Some of those experiences, though, have helped make you a better basketball team, haven't they?
Yeah, I agree. I think you coach more details when it's, you know, one or two possessions, right? And players pay attention more to details if you lose by a shot at the buzzer. And so it does make you pay attention more. I think without those losses at the buzzer, there wouldn't have been a sharpness that you saw this past week, because we were digging into details all week long and talking about, you know, that game wasn't lost in the last. We all look at it, but it wasn't lost right there at the end. Let's look at this first quarter where you were just kind of halfway closing out, and we didn't have everybody boxing out, you know. And so we kind of went back and looked at the first and the second quarter, or, you know, earlier in the game to get them to show, could we have not have scored on this possession, or could we have not have gotten a better look on that possession or an extra touch on this possession? And I think they bought into that, and they're really understanding, you know, this isn't high school where you'll get up by 8 points and then stall ball, you know. This drives me crazy. I wish they got a shot clock, but they're learning.
We could do a whole other podcast on that, by the way.
A lot of coaches would want to get in on that conversation. But they're learning. They're learning that you got to keep playing the game if you get up. You know, if you go on a run, you got to keep playing the game and go on another run. And so it's a learning experience. And so, yes, I'm definitely happy that we played much better. Still not like, I wouldn't even say that was 90%, you know, what we asking for, because we got a little sloppy at the end of the game. And so we've talked about that. We've addressed that. And we're working through that piece. So
no, I really like what you said, because I talk about this sometimes. To me, basketball is kind of an optical illusion.
Yes.
Everybody watches the last 2 minutes. And I hear people all the time say, oh, I just have to watch the last 2 minutes of an NBA game.
Well, maybe NBA, but no, you got to watch the whole thing.
Sometimes the game is decided much earlier than that.
Absolutely.
And it comes down to the end. I get that. But
absolutely.
I think I was talking to Justin about this, the game they played at Eastern New Mexico. If they had gotten off to a better start,
yes,
it wouldn't have come down to that shot at the end.
That's
so I think basketball, and maybe all sports, are a little bit of an optical illusion. I always feel bad for the guy that misses a free throw at the end that costs the game. It's not that one free throw that cost the game.
Or the kicker who kicks the field goal a little off. It's like, I mean, I get it at the same time. Why hasn't the offense scored?
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You're right.
We also need to talk about Zaria Carter, who got recognition. She's the Lone Star Conference Offensive Player of the Week. I kind of knew when I left the gym on Saturday she was going to be the LSC Offensive Player of the Week. Can't imagine that anybody had anything close to what she had this week.
Awesome. She did a great job. Very proud of her. She's not satisfied, though. She's anticipating to continue to, progress through these next few games and keep getting better. We understand that she's at the top of everybody's scout, and she's not afraid of that. At the same time, we're just so proud that she continues to, assert herself and show that she should be here, that she is making an impact on the league, and she's definitely a force to reckon with.
She's making an impact on the league, and I know we've gone through the numbers before, but some of it's worth repeating. She's the leading scorer, the leading rebounder, has the highest field goal percentage, and has taken the most shots in the Lone Star Conference, which says something as well.
Yeah, I think she could take a few more. Just with that high field goal percentage. I mean, you know, if she's shooting that high of a percentage, I mean, we got to find her, And I think our girls do a great job. They're such a selfless team. They do a great job of finding her. I just think the week before when we were on the road, we didn't find her soon enough. And so that was something that we talked about is, why is it 3 minutes into the game and Carter hasn't gotten a touch? That's something that we were intentional about coming into this week. And so moving forward, we'll be intentional about, just playing the numbers. First 3 minutes of a game and Carter's on the court, she hasn't gotten a touch. Come on, let's kind of play to the numbers. And the girls get that. They understand it. They want her to get touches. And also to kind of keep that same aggressive mindset to score so that we balance teams out. But Carter's just such a great teammate. She's not real selfish. You and I have talked about, like, at the Eastern game, we thought she didn't play that well, but she still had 19.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I'll take a, an off night of 19. She's off in 19. I can't wait to see when she's on.
And we saw that this weekend.
Yeah, so we'll take it, good and bad, from her because it's still double digits.
I got a chance to talk to her in the post game, she was talking about she wanted to clean up her game a little bit around the rim and not – she felt like she had been missing too many on putbacks or off offensive rebounds. And I would say she successfully cleaned that up.
Yeah, she has. She's playing at a different level right now. There are some kids who, when you're playing the game and you're playing based on what they're doing. And then there's a place where you can get to in your game where it doesn't matter what anybody is doing and who you're playing, you know how to get yours. And so she understands how to get hers. And it's really a her versus her thing. There's not a lot of people that can guard her one-on-one. And with that, she understands it. And so not that she's forcing it, but it doesn't really matter who she plays. She knows how to get hers at this point.
They say about great players, they make their teammates better. Do you see that with Zaria?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think she makes them better by, just definitely. She tries to be a passer, which we don't like, to be honest. But even like on the defensive end, to be honest with you, if they get beat, she steps over, she'll take a charge. She'll, affect the shot, get a block, get a rebound. And she's always talking to them and encouraging them and, telling them good pass when they make one and different things like that. And she encourages them to shoot so she can go get their rebounds. Like, that's one of her favorite things to do. She'll be like, go ahead, take that shot. I'll get your rebound. So she, encourages them to be aggressive and be confident. And so from that perspective, I think it's good.
Dr. Giddings and I were kind of joking around during one of the games that may be the best offense you've got is just – somebody take a shot and let Zaria get the rebound and the putback. You've got Angelo State coming up the first of two games this week. You got two tough games on the road this week because you're playing at Angelo State, and then 2 days later you're playing at UT Permian Basin. But let's first of all talk about Angelo State. First of all, one of the most memorable wins since I've been doing Midwestern State basketball was the women's victory in San Angelo last year against all odds.
Yes.
You found a way to beat Angelo State with just 8 healthy players.
Yes.
And I got a feeling the Rambels probably remember that.
Yeah, they do, and they will be ready for us on Thursday. And so That's all right. We're going to be ready for them.
I mean, it's not the same cast that you're taking to San Angelo. Zari is back, but it's a whole new cast of characters. So it's not the same team that you're taking to San Angelo. But San Angelo's very, I mean, not completely the same team, but they're similar, aren't they, to what you saw a year ago?
Yes, definitely. They have their post player back, Landry Morrow. She averages a double-double, very efficient inside. She burned us last year. I mean, she'll, similar to what Zaria did this past week, she's not a volume shooter, but I think when we went out there, she was like, 10 of 12 or something like that. I mean, a very high field goal percentage. So we got to limit her touches. And then they've got their big post girl back as well. And then I said Landry Morrow. That's the wrong name. I'm sorry. Madeline Stevens. But Landry Morrow is back. But Madeline Stevens is a kid that's highly efficient that burned us last year. Then their big post girl, Kanaya Stevens, a big 6'4 girl. She's playing a lot better this year. Last year, she was a little more raw. This year, you see a little bit more tools to her repertoire, up and under and that kind of stuff. And then they've got a new freshman in that actually played with two of our kids, Magic Esquivel. She played with Carissa and Kat at Lubbock Cooper High School. And so she's shooting the ball really well for them. I mean, really well as a freshman. And so they've got some new pieces added, but the Madeline Stevens kid, she burned us when we went out there last year. I mean, she burned everybody in the league, to be honest. But she's really good, really highly efficient. I love her game. She doesn't do too much. She keeps it simple, and she just plays so hard. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a really tough matchup for us. I think we're going to have our hands full at every position, and specifically at that guard position.
What's your point of emphasis going into this game against Angelo?
Got to guard the three-point line. Got to guard transition defense, because they're going to push that ball in transition. And big thing, big word, hustle. They are going to play hard. They are going to play hard. They're going to try to get after every 50-50 ball. They're going to play with a motor. And so we got to match that energy. We can't come out sluggish or unenthused. And I think our team does a pretty good job of coming out with a lot of energy. But for them, like when we watched them play Eastern, they didn't have a great first quarter, but they weathered the storm.
Yeah, Eastern took like a 16-point lead early, didn't they?
The first quarter, they were up like 20-something to 4 in the first quarter, and then I watched them in that second quarter just chip away at that lead, just do what they do, just pushing the ball in transition, taking charges defensively, knocking down threes. Then they come out at halftime, they just kept chipping away at that lead. And so you can't get up on Angelo and relax, or be down and relax. I mean, it doesn't matter. You cannot relax. This is a team that Alicia and her husband do a great job of coaching them and coaching them up and having them play at a high level of energy. And they're pretty young at the guard position. But I tell you what, they're not playing like freshmen. They're playing like they've been here before in their season.
I think they've got a 10-game winning streak coming into this game. So they've been playing well.
Really well.
But I would say Midwestern State's also been playing well. And you mentioned hustle. That's kind of a strong suit of the Mustangs, isn't it?
Yeah, we play hard. We're scrappy, like some of the officials tell me. Girls are real scrappy. Well, that's a non-negotiable. You're going to play hard or you're going to, come over to the bench with me. So you're just one or the other, but we kind of have some non-negotiables within our team and within our program. And playing hard is one of them. Like, you got to play hard. You got to dive for loose balls. You got to box out and rebound. And so they know that, and they understand that is a big piece of winning. It's not all about talent. It's not all about athleticism. Those things are important, but if you're not going to play hard, you're going to give somebody that's less talented an opportunity to beat you. And so, yeah, we play hard. That's a non-negotiable. Even when we're in practice, I coach them hard. I coach them way harder in practice than games. For the people who call me calm in games, I'm just like,
you are pretty calm in games.
That's what it looks like. And you talk about optical illusions. Yeah. That's the biggest illusion of it all. Because if you surveyed every one of these girls and said, give me a list of adjectives to describe your coach, none of them would say calm. It's funny when y'all say it because they're just like, she's not calm. Like, she's over there coaching us pretty hard.
I especially see it in your relationship with officials. Most coaches just yell at officials. You're over there very calm.
Yes.
Trying to maybe catch more flies with honey than.
And that's what it is. The thing is with them is, you know, I'm smiling, but I'm saying, don't you think that was a foul? Didn't that look like a foul to you? And so I'm smiling, but I'm also like, wouldn't you agree that that was probably a little too much contact? And so they respond back. And some of those conversations are pretty funny. I had one official tell me, well, Bernita, I'm right because I'm right. And I was like, well, that's a strange response. I'm kind of looking for a little bit more technical explanation so we can adjust. But to say I'm right, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how to adjust my team to you being right.
You know, you were reading my mind a minute ago because you're talking about people calling your team scrappy, and they are. Mm-hmm. But that's usually associated with teams that don't have as much athletic ability. Mm-hmm. Your team is scrappy but also has tremendous athleticism. Mm-hmm. So that's a really nice combination to have.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think it pays well for us when we get into our press and different things like that because, you know, we get up, we're playing hard, and we're athletic, and then we've brought in some longer guards that – you know, kind of shrink the court because they have those longer arms and wider wingspans. And so,
and that's why you're forcing so many turnovers.
Yeah, we're
in
forcing
part.
Turnovers and we're converting more on them now. So yeah, we do. We feel like as we continue to recruit and get better, it'll just, you know, build out from here. But the key and the core to it is, you know, play with passion, play with excitement, enthusiasm, because we get to do this. That's the core of it all. And then you add in the talent, the athleticism, those different things like that. But yeah, no, we're pretty athletic. We just we have to bring our mind to it a little bit more, and that comes with time, that comes with experience, watching film. These girls are getting a lot of experience. I'm telling you, this past week we talked about this is a 16-team league. That's not common to have 16 teams in a league. So you're going to have 16 different styles of play. And 1 week to the next, you have one team that plays zone the whole game. The next week you might have all man, you know. And so you got to be ready to shift and move and in and out. And I couldn't say that this league is characterized by one style of play, because I've played in some leagues where – it's kind of everybody press and played up tempo. Whereas in this league, it's not like that. You really, as a coach, have got to be able to scout, identify, adjust. I mean, what we do is more important than what they do. But the reality of it is you better be able to play multiple styles of basketball in the Lone Star. And so our young girls are learning that, and they're adjusting. And they're a lot more in tuned in scouts now because they're seeing it. They're seeing, you know, this team will run a matchup zone, but then this team will run more of a soft zone and just pack the paint and let you shoot. And so it's different. It's different night in and night out. Not a lot of time to flip those scouts and prepare, so they really have to be mentally engaged.
I was going
to
say, you got 48 hours and some less than 48 hours, really, from a Thursday night to a Saturday, and sometimes you're playing teams that are completely different. Mm-hmm. What's the situation this week when you go to UT Permian Basin?
So it'll be the same. So as far as a different scout, so UT Permian Basin will they've got really good guard play, really quick and athletic guards that will get downhill on you and try to get to the rim. They do have some good shooters. The Rushton kid is shooting the ball really well right now. They have shooters on the court as well as coming off the bench. One of them is a transfer from us that's over there on their bench. But they also have a solid post play. They don't have the same quadman that they had last year, but the post that they do have, she's really good. She's strong. She's athletic. So they have a nice little balance from their inside-outside game. But she's going to throw some different defenses at us as far as some traps, zones. She'll try to press us a little bit, so it's gonna be, you know, a different type of basketball to get ready for. But I'm telling you what, it's going to be a guard game on Saturday, and we've got to guard them. We've got to manage their pressure. We've got to contain. We've got to get the ball to who we know we want to get the ball to, and we've got to be on one accord about it. But UT Permian Basin is going to be a tough team as well.
My guess is the girls are excited about making this trip.
Oh, yes, they're very excited, especially Zaria keeps telling them, you know, the same story you started. We wouldn't beat them last year. So they're excited about it, yes.
Well, I'm always excited to get to talk to you on these podcasts, and I'm looking forward to this week as well. We'll see you in San Angelo on Thursday and Odessa on Saturday. By the way, those games are on Flow College. You can always listen to the game on the Midwestern State audio platform. You can follow the Mustangs at msumustangs.com. Renita Jackson joins us every week for a Stang Gang podcast. Be sure to tell your friends and make your plans to be at Lincoln Coliseum to check out the women when they come back home a week from Thursday. I'm Pete Stein. So long.